What's going on, sinners and choosers? Welcome to another episode of Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. This is a show where I interview LA comedians about whatever religious stuff they had growing up. My deal is my dad is a Presbyterian minister, and I'm not a Christian anymore. For once, we actually don't talk about it that much in this episode, which is really refreshing. This episode is with Nat Baymel. It was great to find out about him. I've always liked him as a comic and didn't know as much about his background, and found out pretty damn Jewish growing up. And then you'll just have to listen to hear how that turned out for him. I'm so annoyed at myself. So last week, I was on the road. I was recording on the road, so I had my recorder, my podcast recorder, set to a mode that uses the recorder itself instead of using an external mic setup like I usually have. Well, I didn't flip the modes, and so this podcast is not going to have great audio quality with it. I'm so annoyed and embarrassed when a technical difficulty like this happened, but I thought it was a great episode. I still want to put it out, but if you don't like the audio mix, maybe sit this one out. That's fine. There's a lot of great content out there. Wouldn't dare try to hoard you to mine. But anyway, if you like this show, you can find more episodes with even higher quality audio at chooseyourownreligion.com. You can find a blog there that I'm trying to keep up with. If you listen to the show for a while or maybe a short time and you like it, I don't ask for any kind of compensation or anything. But if you like, remember to leave a rating or a review on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever. It would be cool. It would be really cool if you like this show. I mean, if you don't like the show and you need to tell me about it, you can also review it there too. Email me at joe@joequint.net anytime you just want to talk about anything. I love hearing from you. And that's it. Please welcome Nat Baymel.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers and know that you are blessed? I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Let's get started.
Alrighty then.
Thanks for coming on the show, Nat.
Thank you very much, Joe.
This is one where I don't necessarily know a ton about you. I don't know what your angle is. I don't know what agenda you came in here
just
with.
Just a handsome mystery rolling on in.
A handsome mystery. You're goddamn, you know, if somebody normally would say that, I'd be like, handsome, really? But I'm like, oh, he is a handsome mystery.
I try.
You're very well coiffed today?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not usually this cocky, but I just shaved yesterday, and I'm like, I'm looking good.
Got that extra. I shaved yesterday, too. It is like a nice, like, I feel a little less shunned by people, like by strangers.
Yeah, I also don't shave that often, so I'm just feeling freshly confident.
Right on. So you're from, you were just talking earlier, you're from Florida.
Sure am. South Florida, Miramar/Cooper City, if anybody knows that. Shout out.
Wait, where is that? My dad is from Jacksonville, so since it's a good time. the opposite side of Florida.
So it's the exact opposite of the state.
Right.
Right. Going off of what Florida is shaped like, I was like raised near the tip, and your dad was near like the FUPA.
That's right. Okay, so more Miami area?
So Miramar is about, that's where I was born and spent my first 10 years, give or take. And, it's about maybe like 40-ish minutes north of Miami.
Okay.
And then Cooper City was near Fort Lauderdale, Pembroke Pines, if anybody knows that general vicinity.
Now the rap is that, I mean, this is what I always heard, what made sense to me going to Jacksonville, which is basically Georgia. I mean, it's almost literally Georgia. Is that the more southern geographically you get in Florida, the more northern you get? Have you found out to be true?
Yeah, no, it's 100% true. It's like in northern Florida, there's a band called Florida Georgia Line.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's just chili cook-offs and just people who are just like, yeah, everybody here looks like me. I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. And Skinner's from Jacksonville, too.
It makes sense. But in South Florida, it's like, oh, there's Cuban culture and, you know, all these festivities and all this multiculturalism that sort of blends together. But you still do have that sort of trickle down. Like, yeah. Like when I was in high, like it's one of those things where I didn't realize how much racism actually existed in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this black girl in my school, she's like, "Oh, you eat lunch with John, right? I think he's really cute." I'm like, "Oh, cool. I'll let him know." And Joe, this kid I used to eat lunch with all the time, like, "Hey, whatever her name is, thinks you're cute." He's like, "What? Man, I'm gonna have to wear my Confederate flag belt buckle tomorrow. Show her what's up."
Oh, what the fuck?
And I was just like, "Man, I gotta find somewhere to eat lunch now. This sucks."
That's great. That kind of casual racism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just real, like, untucked shirt racism.
So there was some of that. Some of that did trickle down to you then. I guess I'm thinking, was that, would you consider where you grew up the Bible Belt?
No, not at all.
Because of the northern, southern Florida thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Cooper City, where I spent, like, my formative years, I guess, we had a really large Jewish population, and, you know, me being part of the Chosen Tribe, it was just like, oh, I feel very comfortable and at home here, and not too far from Boca Raton, so we had a lot of, like, you know, the snowbirds from New York coming down, and a bunch of older Jews and stuff, but,
yeah.
I mean, I had friends who were Catholic and Christian, but it definitely wasn't super intense. Like, I've, you know, done the road a number of years now in Oklahoma, I'm like, oh, this is why they call it the Bible Belt, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. But so did you grow up in like a very, was your specific neighborhood, like a Jewish neighborhood?
Not really. I mean, we just sort of had like a large Jewish population in Cooper City, and we had, you know, like a synagogue or two around, but it wasn't like a Jewish community where we all get together and we do our little secret meetings together.
Gotcha. No,
no Gentile eyes.
Right. Plotting, you know, the takeover of all of globalism. I heard globalism was actually a secret anti-Semite word.
I post on Reddit a lot, just my jokes, and it's one of those things where, like, it's cool when one of my jokes will get, like, to the front page, and I'm like, oh, man, a whole bunch of people are seeing my work, but then all of a sudden people are just, like, literally hundreds of thousands of people seeing it, and then all of a sudden I had someone post, it had to have been about, like, 12 paragraphs of, like, why Jews are evil, and...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was just a thing where it was like, oh, yeah, they had this, like, pedophile, pederast community back in the day, and the reason, like, you're oppressed is because you're awful and you're evil and everyone figures you out and you're secretly controlling everything. I'm like, man, well, I've never been told that we're in charge of anything. If anything, like, if we are, then I'm like, man, I should have gotten, like, rebar mitzvah or something. Like, they didn't tell me shit.
Yeah, that's so... That is a weird... Anti-Semitism is such a weird one to me.
Yeah.
It isn't...
Like, the thing is, like, if you don't like us because we're really annoying at the Olive Garden, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, my family, like, my stepdad has, like, complained at the Olive Garden so much we've eaten there for free twice.
Oh, my God.
I know, and, like, if waiters, like, complain about the Jews after that, I'm like, I understand. But when it comes to, like... Oh, yeah, we have, like, a secret cabal where we're keeping minorities down so we can amass power. I'm just like, nah.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, like, I don't know about it.
Yeah. So, well, maybe you're just, maybe that's the problem. You weren't in, like, one of, you said you're only Jews were in your town. You weren't part of, like, an actual cabal. Maybe
there's
a way over to the actual cabal yet.
Yeah, I've never been a part of an actual Jewish cabal. Like, that would be, I thought that'd be kind of neat.
Sounds cool just saying it.
Yeah, it's literally just clandestine, dark secret meetings, secret handshakes, sacrifices, and all that.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't go to, like, Hebrew school or anything? Like,
I actually did. I was bar mitzvahed and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
So Hebrew school, from what I understand, the first part of the time somebody told me that, I was picturing, like, instead of for normal school, but it's on top of normal school. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was when my mom, you know, told me I was going, that was one of those things where I was like, what?
How old are you?
I think I started probably around third or fourth grade.
Okay.
Like, I started late compared to most of the other kids in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, you mean to tell me that, like, twice a week I have to go to more school? This doesn't sound like a sweet deal, Mom.
It's close.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, it was a thing where it's like, it wasn't that bad, you know? It's just like, they tossed it. Learn to read Hebrew and taught us stories, and we got, like, cheap pizza and candy and, you know, made new friends. So.
Yeah, like, what the traditions meant and, like, what every holiday... How many holidays are there?
Oh, boy.
It's like 20 or something.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My girlfriend, who's in the corner right now, hey, baby, I love you. Yeah, like, her sister-in-law is, like, very Jewish, and, you know, like, she'll have us over for a lot of the holidays, and I feel really bad because I'm like, It's been a long time since I've been keeping up.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, go back to Hebrew school, fake it till you make it a little bit. Just, like, remember some of the... Maybe there's some muscle memory that'll be stored in there with some motions or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember when my little cousin got bar mitzvahed. I'm probably, like, 8 or 9 years older than him. Without telling me, they just had me come up to the Bima to read Hebrew to everyone, and I didn't remember how to read Hebrew, and so it was just one of those, like, nightmares you probably had as a comic where you just, like, go up on stage and forget your act.
Oh, yeah, and that's the worst,
yeah,
the worst feeling.
But luckily they had, like, a little, like, transliteration underneath it where it was, like, Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-K, so it was
oh,
thank you.
Thank God for that. Well, because Hebrew is such a... How hard was that to learn? Obviously not the easiest to learn.
It wasn't too... I mean, like, you know, I was young enough where it was at that age where your brain is just a sponge, so you're able to absorb a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Also, there's, like, an easy way and a hard way to learn to read Hebrew. Like, in the Torah, I mean, like, when you read it the easy way, they have, like, vowels underneath everything, so you know this is pronounced with an ah, or this with an
yeah.
E, or this with an ooh. Uh-huh. But in the Torah, there's none of that, and so you just have to sort of, like, know the words.
Wow.
Yeah, but, like, this is one of the nerdiest things ever, but I remember about six
yeah.
months into Hebrew school, like, for whatever reason, the teacher decided to say that Nat is the best reader in the class, and mind you, I started later than everybody else, and so I was, like, feeling pretty cocky. I'm just like, you guys had a 2-year head start, and I'm a better reader. And then I didn't really make any friends after that.
You're like, wait, doesn't everybody want to hang out with, like, the really powerful reader?
Yeah.
Nobody?
Yeah, no, but, like, when I was being tutored for my bar mitzvah, like, you know, it was just, like, being taught how to read the Hebrew from the Torah so I wouldn't embarrass my family when I was up there reading it.
Sure, yeah.
Apparently, like, I was one of the best students the teacher had ever had, and I was, like, done being tutored months before my bar mitzvah, so it was just all polished from that point forward.
Wow. Did you ever get, like, did you ever consider being a rabbi or, like, studying, like, getting deep diving into, like, Hebrew and rabbinical stuff?
Not really. Like, we were Reformed, I think. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the liberal one, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
the hippie one.
Yeah, like, growing up, like, I was always taught, maybe, like, I'm gonna be butchering this, but there was, like, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox. You know, Orthodox is the one where, like, the women have to sit on a different side, and,
right.
you know, you can't walk through a cemetery, and all, like, the crazy rules. Conservative is like, well, let's just calm down a little bit, and Reformed is, let's calm down even more.
Yeah.
And so we were Reformed, but we were also leaning a little bit towards Conservative.
Okay.
But I was never, like, yeah. I mean, I was eating, like, bacon the whole time, so I wasn't that Jewish.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, you guys didn't keep kosher or anything? Or
not really. And
are both your parents Jewish?
I mean, they were. Yeah, my dad actually passed away when I was very young.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually made me, like, kind of extra-religious growing up. It was sort of, like, a weird thing where it's, like... my mom that would push religion on me. It was never like a, like, you must pray or anything. It was just like, yeah, we're into bar mitzvah. This is how we sort of start this sort of thing.
Mm.
But, I mean, growing up, I was always sort of taught, like, hey, you know, your dad was a great guy. He's great. You're going to see him one day again, you know, in heaven. And so, like, you know, not really understand very much. I'm just like, okay, I have to be a very good person so I go to heaven so I can actually see my dad again.
Wow.
And so it just made me, like, super extra mega religious.
Yeah.
And, like, more religious than, like, anyone else in my family, but then I sort of grew out of that later on.
Like, wait, when did you grow out of that?
Probably around, like, late high school and early into college. I mean, like, my mom and I stopped going to the temple. It was actually a really messed up thing, which was sort of, like, an eye-opening experience for religion in general for me, where, like I said, we were, like, active members of the temple, and, you know, they were always, like, asking for contributions because they had moved from one temple to another, and so they're like, oh, we need, you know, sponsors to, like, build the funds to build this great new temple. And it was a thing where my mom's like, I'm going to give you what I can, but I am a single mom. I can only, like, afford so much.
Yeah.
And they just keep badgering her and everything. They're like, well, you know, we did bar mitzvah your son. It's the least you can do. And then we just sort of, like, stopped going just because
yeah.
it was, like, getting to be a bit much. And then a few years later, my grandmother died. And then they haven't never, you know, we haven't talked to them in years. People from the temple reached out and were like, oh, we're so sorry to hear about your mom. And my mom was like, oh, thank you very much. And they're like, yeah, you know, we do need some money for this new temple still. And my mom's like,
oh,
all right, we're out. This is gross.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
Yeah, and then I remember, like, a year or two after that, because, like, the new temple was, like, right across the street from where our house was. And I decided, I haven't been in a temple in years. I want to go just to see if I
yeah.
got that old spark or anything. And I remember going. I was actually really excited to go. And I just remember being there. and looking around, and everyone in the temple just looked so miserable. Like, they all looked like they were only there because they felt like they had to be. And I was just like, if there is a God, I don't think he's going to be hyped that you're coming to his house just because you feel like you have to be and being all miserable. I think he'd be, like, cool if you're just like, you know what, me and God are cool, like, on the weekends or, like, at this point or whatever. So just like, I'll just take this at my own pace.
Yeah, it is weird. This is, I'm a big fan of this, this spiritual teacher named Ram Dass, and something he talks about, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but something he talks about is, like, he's coming from an Eastern tradition, but just talking about how, like, these, like, scripture or, like, hymns are so, like, the lyrics of hymns can be, like, I don't know, I guess they don't really have hymns as much in
we get a lot of songs, yeah.
Okay, so they're the same idea that, like, the lyrics themselves are very, like, almost psychedelic, they're kind of, like, euphoric, they're just, like, maybe a holy, 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 like, this is, like, trying to describe this, like, amazing, completely metaphysical, like, super phenomenon that's here to save the world with its love, and it's, like, just reading it like it's the grocery list, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, and God is here to save us.
Oh, it's very true, because, I mean, like, a lot of Jewish songs have kind of the same lyrics, like, you know, you've probably heard, like, a lot of them start with, like, Baruch Hu Et Adonai, Hamarach, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's my favorite.
Yeah, and they just have, like, a bunch of different, like, words after that and a bunch of different melodies, but it's, like, God, holy universe, da-da-da-da-da. But it's the thing, so we're talking about, like, oh, God, who has given us everything. Thank you. This is wonderful. And it's just, like, we have a little, some feeling into it.
Yeah, it's just, like, yeah, it's just so repetitive. I mean, God bless my granddad, and, you know, all my family is Christian. My dad is a Presbyterian minister. I don't know if I told you that, but so fairly Christian family going from. But I remember my granddad, he would always start off his prayer, like, his anytime he would go to his house to eat, you know, any kind of meal, he would always end up saying grace. He didn't, like, people would ask him to, wasn't, like, trying to be
the
authoritarian nigger or anything, but, like, so, dear Heavenly Father, like, he had this, like, down so fast he just mumbled, like, straight through it, the preamble, and then making one improvised, like, thing, like, thank you for Joseph, he's here today. Yeah, like, okay, cool, we're keeping it that relevant.
It's the equivalent of when someone says, hey, you're a comic, why don't you do a joke for us?
Right.
So why don't you just give us a little blessing, Father?
No, I will say though, I've been around, like, I think I did Habitat for Humanity one time, and there was, like, a Baptist group there that was, like, leading a prayer or something. And I remember the woman who was leading it, they do it, like, all improvised. Like, they don't have the rope thing. And it was, like, kind of uncomfortable, too, to have that, like, that much passion.
Can,
like,
we get a suggestion from the worshipers?
Right. It was very intense to be, like... And it would just drag when you just give people this open season. They'll just go on for, like, 2 minutes.
Weird. Yeah, no, like, my closer in my act, I didn't talk about religion in general. And, I had, like, it was a weird thing when I was, like, growing up. I was, like, you know, I was, like, about 6, 7, and it was the whole thing. It's like, oh, Judaism is, like, the one true religion, everyone else is wrong, which, looking back on, like, that's kind of a shitty thing to just be thinking.
Well, everybody thinks that.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, part of the joke. Is, like, if you belong to a religion, you secretly think you're right and everyone else is wrong.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I actually went to church with my friend, because, like, my best friend growing up was Catholic, and I remember I went to his first communion or whatever it was very young, and I just remember, like, it was one of those things, like, oh, dude, people believe something other than Judaism? And I was like, yeah, but, like, you know, it's like, theirs is different. But I remember, like, I went to church with him a couple of times, and I was like, this is all the exact same thing. Like, it's...
Really?
It's different dressing or whatever, but, you know, it's like, yeah, there's Jesus, and there's, you know, like, we drink wine sometimes, but otherwise, it's literally just like, hey, be nice to people, you know, don't steal from them, don't murder, and it's like, this is basically, like, what all religions are.
Yeah.
And it's like football is the analogy I give. Uh-huh. Or it's like, just, you have a different mascot, but you still have the same rules.
Right. That's interesting. I still have not gone to a synagogue service? What would you
Yeah.
What it's called? It's Friday nights. It's always the...
Friday nights or Saturday mornings.
Okay. Would you, like, ever be resentful that, like, a sweet part of your weekend being taken away?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, yeah. So that was part of being bar mitzvah is you actually had a little log card, and you had to go to so many services before you were allowed to do bar mitzvah.
A log card?
Yeah, yeah. So every time, like, we would go to Shabbat service, I had to, like, mark. It's like, okay, one more. A little punch card where instead of, like...
Not fucking around.
Yeah, instead of a frozen yogurt, you know, you got manhood at the end of it.
That's interesting. So, like, all the way, even when you were, like, super religious, you're like, this still kind of sucks.
Well, that's the thing. It was just like, man, you know, I like giving praise to God and everything, but, man, I really would like to just watch Ren and Stimpy on Friday nights.
Right.
Because it just came back to that point. I was like, this would be so good.
And are there, in the synagogue services, are there, like, sermons, too? Or is it like a rabbi, like...
Oh, yeah, like, that? I mean, the rabbi that we had, like, I actually really liked the rabbi, shout out Rabbi Greenspan. Like, his actually wife was my fifth grade art, or no, my kindergarten art teacher when I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a thing where we started going, like, Greenspan. And then we found out they were, you know, married. I'm like, oh my goodness, power couple. And yeah, like, he would sort of, like, you know, go through, like, the prayers and everything. But then he'd also sort of give a little, like, oh, I saw this thing the other day and it reminded me of this story and here's how we can apply it to our lives. And one of the reasons why I sort of, like, started backing away from religions, like, I still consider myself Jewish and everything, and just in terms of, like, do you believe in God? My answer is always, like, we'll see. Just as it's, like, or, like, I don't know. Like, just, like,
sure.
That's the thing. It's, like, I like to think. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. It's, like, I hope that there's, you know, like, a heaven and everything, but, like, I'm not gonna, like, fight anybody over it.
Yeah. It's interesting. Do you think that's a common thing among even some practicing Jews? It feels like Judaism is almost more, maybe, I don't know if you would, maybe you can clarify this for me. Sometimes it's not that it's necessarily more about what you do versus what you believe, but it kind of does. It seems more like, what's the discipline of, like, your actions and of, like, versus, like, what do you specifically, like, what's your faith? What kind of things do you believe about the universe?
I've seen that with a lot of different faiths, though, not necessarily Judaism.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
A lot of people have sort of that smugness of, like, oh, I am Catholic, therefore all I have to do is apologize and I get to automatically go to heaven, so I can be as horrible a person as I want, but as long as I confess, then it's okay.
Right.
And, you know, there's, like, a lot of Orthodox Jews who are super pretentious, who even think that, like Reformed or Conservative Jews are, we don't have a hell, but we're going to wherever that would be if we had it.
Right.
And it's just the thing where it's just like, I don't think God cares, like, what you believe. I think he just cares more, like, who you are as a person.
Right.
You know, there is one or anything. But yeah, my, like, pastor, like, or pastor, my rabbi, one of the sermons he gave that I really remembered was, he told the story of this little kid who went to a rabbi, and he was, like, really sad, because he's like, oh, you know, I want to give praise to God, but I don't know any prayers. So he would just, like, start going to synagogue, and all he could do was, like, recite the first couple letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which is, like, Aleph, Bet, Gimel. That's, like, all he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And the rabbi was saying, it's like, that's literally all that matters, is that he's trying to be a good person. And it doesn't matter that he doesn't know the exact wording of everything, or he doesn't know the melodies of the hymns, or he doesn't know any of this. It's like, he's just a good person who's trying his best. That's all God cares about. And that's one of the things that I've always kept with me, which is just like, just be a good person. That's literally all that matters. Because I remember I had, like, a couple of, like, conservative Christian friends growing up. And, I mean, it was one of those things we didn't talk about it very often, but every so often I'd be like, oh, yeah, you think I'm going to hell, right? And they're like, yeah, sorry. And I was like, well, my grandfather, he, like, you know, like, escaped the Nazis and helped other people escape with him and, like, lives his life for his family and his community and everything. You really mean to tell me that God's going to be like, sorry, you're just backing the wrong pony in this race. Going to hell forever, Chaim. I really doubt that.
Yeah, definitely feel, I remember, it seemed like the rules of hell, of, like, just don't make any sense. That's one of the first things that I think went for me and goes for a lot of people. It's just like, hell, what? I mean, why would an all-powerful being who also loves me have any, like, what is the incentive here?
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing if it was, like, actual determinant, because, and he could, like, just prove to us that it existed. But it's like, it may or may not be a fundamental, whatever. There's a couple of flaws.
Oh, yeah. And also, just in terms of, you know, like, there's a joke that, like, most Jews grow up to be agnostic, same with Catholics and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember my Hebrew school specifically, like, churned out a lot of them just with the way they taught. Like, we had a teacher who would teach us a story from the Bible. So, let's say, for example, Noah's Ark. And then at the end of the story, she'd be like, do we have any questions? And then every hand in the class would go up, because it's just like, wait, Noah was how old? How many animals? Well, how big was this fucking right. boat? And then she would literally see every hand in the class go up and be like, okay, moving on, and just ignore every question we
wow.
had. And I remember, like, every so often when she would answer questions, like, I mean, this was in fourth grade, I remember specifically, it's a bunch of, like, 10 and 11-year-olds just poking every hole that she couldn't fill in at all. Because I remember, like, one kid asked, he's like, hey, if you're, as a Jew, do we not like being gay? And like, oh, yeah, it's considered wrong. It's like, okay, but we don't have a hell, right? I'm like, no. It's like, so what happens? Like, well, I mean, as a Jew, we automatically go to heaven, right? Yeah, so we can just do whatever we want. We're going to heaven. It's like, well, I mean, sort of, I guess, but not really. And then there's a thing with a, you know, our New Year is Rosh Hashanah, and then 10 days after that is Yom Kippur, which is our holy day of atonement, where we fast, we pray all day for forgiveness, and then hopefully move on to a better year.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember once the teacher taught us that if you don't repent properly, then you're gonna die within that next year. And we're all like, but we're going to heaven regardless, right? So like, let's say like, so first of all, we were also asking things like, so wait a minute, we can just murder like 40 people that year, but as long as we repent properly in that 10 days and on Yom Kippur, we're good. And like, well,
oh,
we shouldn't kill those people, but theoretically, yes. But what if we don't repent? Do we go to hell? Well, we don't really have a hell. It's like, okay, so just heaven? It's like, anyway, let's learn about Noah's Ark. It was one of, like, we're just, like, berating this poor woman.
And she's just like, and this is why people hate Jews, all right? This is
yeah,
why.
Yeah, exactly. And children.
Especially children. One thing that was cool that I wanted to go back to was, like, that lesson your rabbi told you. This reminds me, do you ever meditate or anything, or... I don't even know. You get down that?
Periodically.
Yeah.
I think it's just a good thing.
Like a pragmatic
type
thing. Yeah.
Close your eyes. Like, just don't think about anything for a little while. See what sort of seeps in.
Yeah. Well, like, some people, I guess if that's a much more casual, probably the best way to go about it. I know a lot of people, I'm periodic with it. I'll go through periods where I'm, like, really trying to get, quote unquote, better at meditating, but it's such a frustrating process of, like, and that's like the classic thing anybody who starts off meditating, you hear them say is like that, oh, I can't, like, I just can't possibly sit still. My mind just scattering everywhere, and I start beating myself up over it because I'm like, oh, I can't, I'm not good at this or whatever. But there's this teacher, Sharon Salzberg, that just has, she says, like, the whole yoga of the thing, like, the whole point of it is just, it's the beginning again. It's the starting over.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not about how long you go. You will go longer, but it's about it. The whole, just the returning and the starting over. That's it. That from there, you can't control exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, a lot of people also, I think, just put too much pressure on themselves to have like the greatest meditation of all time.
Oh, exactly.
But their thing
yeah.
is like, okay, I want to just meditate for 20 minutes. At the end of it, I want to know whether or not I should leave my husband. It's like,
yeah,
just close your eyes, like listen to the sound of your own breathing. Just
yeah.
focus on that, and just. Honestly, like, a lot of times it's one of those things where, like, I don't even think of anything, and sometimes when I'm stressed out, it'll just be a thing, I just, like, close my eyes for a little while, focus on the breathing, and then realize, like, oh, I was just in my own head about this thing, it's not that big of a deal.
Man, you are so mentally sound, because this is what happens to me. So, but this is, like, I think this is a cool part of meditation, is, like, because I would get frustrated, I would beat myself up over, like, oh, I can't believe, like,
oh, I do that all the time, and
yeah.
it's one of those things, like, sometimes I need to remind myself to just, like, like, because I read some philosophy
yeah.
here and there, and, like, Alan Watts is, like, a current one that
huge,
I read.
Huge Alan
Yeah. Awesome, yeah, and, like, his whole idea of just, like, living in the present, because it's the only thing we can truly prove exists, is, you know, like, the past
right.
is one of those things that it already happened, we can't control it. The future, like, living in the future is a dumb move, because there's no such thing as the future, because
right.
it's always just the present.
Right.
And it's one of those things, like, I'm one of those people who I'm always terrified about, what happens next, what do I do?
Mm.
And then sometimes I'll just, like, just close my eyes, breathe in and out a little bit, and just be like, okay, here I am right now, just focus on this, whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really calms me down.
Yeah.
And when I'm calm, then I'm not as worried about the future, because I feel like I have a little more control over my present, which will help the future.
Yeah. And especially even, like, yeah, because meditation, I think, is just, there's lots of things going on there, because it makes you physically calmer, just already physiologically you're going to be ahead of the game, just like... As much, I don't know about you, but I feel like it took me a long time to realized that there was a very strong connection between what was chemically going on in my body and how I felt mentally. Like that didn't occur to me at all in like high school or like even the first half of college. I was just like, yeah, I was a pretty overweight kid, especially in high school and college. And just like, I don't know, that I didn't realize how much just being tired all the time and just like treating your body poorly makes you like more depressed and more angry, and like it just all feeds on itself.
Yeah, well, it's a thing where it's like, as human beings, we also feel like, oh, we're individuals with like a unique soul and everything.
We're mankind.
Exactly, when we're just a bunch of chemicals and atoms and everything, and electricity is like, you know, like fire in the thoughts and everything. And that is a true thing. It's like, just go out for a walk, go for a run, it'll help you feel so much better.
That is too what I keep wanting to just drive back to this one random point I thought of, but the meditation, even those thoughts, this is what's cool about it to me, is like, even the thoughts that are like you judging yourself, if you keep meditating, you start observing, you realize that you can observe that judgment that of like, oh, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
And then you're just learning about yourself, like, oh my God, that's part of my little internal story. That I've just accepted as like the way life is or the way reality is. I'm like, I've been accepting that negative voice.
Yeah.
Just as like a gospel in so many different moments where it's just, and then when you're in those moments, you can more, and you feel a negative voice, like in a social, I don't know. Sometimes you get social anxiety.
Yeah.
Sometimes a guy gets social anxiety. And in those situations, you can be like, oh yeah, no, you're just making a lot of that up. You're so paranoid about whether people are perceiving about you, they're probably not even thinking about you at all.
That's the thing too. That's a big, I mean, like, I've got like minimal social anxiety as well.
Mm.
I've just always been sort of an awkward kid, and I always sort of just feel like, oh, what am I doing with my body and my mouth right now? And my brain's always like 40 steps ahead.
Right.
And I'll just like say something like, I was like, I didn't mean to say that, I was over here. And
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where like, generally no one cares. Even if you like embarrass yourself, people forget about it a week or two later.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, every comic has the joke of just like, I'm trying to go to sleep, my brain remembers something from 8 years ago. Thanks, Brian.
right.
But it's something we all do.
It is true, yeah. And for me, it's like, I have a sweet, I think I do really well one-on-one, and then in larger groups, cause, like the stand-up thing, but it's those intermediary, like, once we get to like 5, especially, like 5 to 10, I'm like, I hate those size groups. Those give me the most anxiety. Like, there's like a little bit too, because I guess that's what they say about introverts, is that they're good at one-on-one, and then like the whole performance thing, it's like the audience is the one, so it's actually a one-on-one with an audience versus like lots of like, you know, 10 simultaneous relationships, because that's the shit that stresses me way out.
Yeah, and I'm also I'm an only child, and so I spent just like, a lot of time alone growing up, and so I was just always this in my own head. And so that's the thing, when it's like a group of people and I'm just like, I haven't said anything in a little while, they're thinking weird for me and quiet right now, I should say something. Oh, why did I say that? I should just let it be quiet. Oh, I gotta, maybe if I say something else, I can make up for that. It's like, oh, I'm just making it worse right now. Now for being quiet, oh, they think I'm, it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't know, like meditating doesn't really help with that for me, but it's, I just try to own the awkwardness. Like my best friend, apparently like we became best friends because like I would just be a weird kid who would say completely weird, inappropriate things at times, and everyone's just weirded out by it. He just thought it was hilarious.
That's how it all starts, right? It's like, so much, I definitely have felt that. I go with that with like relationships where sometimes I'll go long periods with not having them, but then I'll find somebody that just, you just so click with, you just so like, that's what I love when, somebody I heard in Indonesia described, I think, did you listen to S-Town, that podcast series?
I don't think so, no.
That's pretty good. Anyway, there's a quote from like a psychologist in this course of this, they're talking about describing intimacy as like when you are able to relay your true thoughts and actions to somebody without judgment. And it's like, I love it when that happens. And that's when I feel like I'm definitely not my funniest and my best self. But so often you're relaying your true thoughts and people are kind of like, what? You fucking weirdo? Doesn't make any, they can't make the same like leaps as you or something, or
it's just the honesty of it, because that is the thing, when you first start dating someone, it's like you're just giving them like your social media persona, which is just like killing it right now, just had an audition for this thing, we can't wait to see what happens. And like you're just being that. But then, you know, like, as they sort of start digging through, it's just like, you can just be whoever you are to them. And that's when it's, like, the best. This is the thing, it's like a lot of people sort of just like, they like the sort of serial dating where it's like, it's new and exciting, you know, it's such a thrill. But it's like, no, man, I'm lazy. I like just going home. And I mean, like, I'm wearing, like, Payless shoes and sweatpants right now. And my girl's with me. She ain't judging me.
I definitely, yeah. Like, even the thought of, I was talking about this with my friend yesterday. It's like the thought of, because I've been seeing somebody even just for, like, 3 or 4 months. It's like the thought of, like, going out, like, just having to get to know somebody again. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. But I don't, and also, I don't know. There's the serial date. I've definitely done the serial dating thing. No question. There's still a part of that that would be interesting and appealing to me, I'm sure. But there's something too about the like diving deeper, like finding the well, and then just drilling down, finding that. Like the whole point of dating around is to find the good thing. So once you find the good thing and like invest in the good thing, not just be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna keep looking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and also I feel like just realistic standards,
mm-hmm.
sort of things. A lot of people are just like, yeah, you know, she's gorgeous, she's great in bed, she has a great sense of humor, we can be honest with each other, we have a similar background and interests and passions, but it's like, but she just doesn't like punk rock music the way that I do. I don't know if I could make this thing work out.
That's such a disease of more type thing. It's just never.
Well, it's also just because we live in an era of like online dating where,
yeah.
like, you literally look at someone like a menu item, like, you're reading their profile, like, nutrition facts, and you're just like, ooh, I don't want anything with so much sodium in it. You know, it's just like, ooh, I don't want someone who's just this into hiking. It's just like.
Oh, yeah, man. Imagine what the. Yeah, I just put that I have a religion podcast on my profiles. Definitely weeds them out. Definitely weeds a lot of people. Probably weeds a lot of cool people out, honestly. But
and that's the thing too. I'm sure, like, because my girlfriend and I, we met on OKCupid years ago, and
uh-huh.
it is the thing. I'm sure, like, I was probably judgmental of people I maybe got along with because it was the thing where I saw like their taste in music, and I'm just like,
right,
bluegrass. Ew.
Well, that's what's terrifying too. Is like you could just be in an arbitrarily bad mood that night or something, or you could just not be feeling it right when you send the first message, and then it's just so up to. It's so random, it seems like what?
But it's also, like, it's one of the things, like, it's a, nothing's either good or bad, it's always something in the middle. That's the thing, it's like, when you meet someone at a bar, it's like, yeah, there's that excitement of just like, oh, you know, I use my prowess and
right.
my personality,
it's
and
organic.
I snag someone, it's organic. But then it's like, ooh, a few months later you find out all these things about them, and it's like, man, if I had just read this on a dating profile, I could have saved myself a lot of heartache.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I needed less mystery here. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's also
yeah.
kind of nice that, like, if you do connect with someone online, they have, like, a thorough dating profile. Like, yeah, it's weird on the first date. You already know all this stuff about them.
Mm-hmm.
But that means you can also, like, start talking about, like, more realistic stuff. And just like, okay, well, yeah, I know, like, what movies you like. And, like,
mm-hmm.
what 5 things should you never live without? But it's like, okay, what are you afraid of? It's like, okay, let's get into some weird stuff now.
Yeah, so Tinder's almost, like, the worst of both worlds, then.
Yeah, I've never been on Tinder. Like, I don't know what that is. That literally just, like, swipe and faces?
Yeah.
Like, do they even have a profile on it?
You can have, like, up to 300 words or something in your profile. So
Jesus.
A lot of people, it's, like, just one sentence or whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, I always heard, like, the hookup site. Because, I mean, like, if you're really just looking at people's pictures, it's like, okay, like great, that's fun, too.
It's not purely, it's definitely leans more towards hooking up. But I would say it's only hooking up these days. Now it's just general gen pop.
Oh, okay.
It's, like, become so big that you have to, like, it feels like I have to do, I have more success on that one, even though I used to have only success on OkCupid and no success on Tinder.
Yeah.
Now it's just, like, so many more, it seems like there's more and more people on Tinder.
Yeah, I don't really meet people who are on OkCupid anymore. Everyone's just talking about Tinder and Bumble and
yeah.
whatever the other popular ones
I mean,
are.
OkCupid now, that's, like, that's what Match.com used to be. It's like, oh, you're getting serious if you're going on OkCupid.
So
you're really looking for something like
deep. You're reading those essay questions. You are getting into her. You're
filling out like 200 to 300 of them. And maybe
yeah.
even changing an answer here or there because you're like, oh, you know what? I actually don't. I could be compatible on that for this person.
No.
Have you ever done that? I would do that a decent amount. I'm ashamed to say.
I would try not to. Just because, like I said, it was that thing where like, I knew it would like, read their questions and they'd get to one and be like, oh, I can't believe they think this thing.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, went on a date with, like, a girl, and we were, like, hitting it off. Then afterwards, she was like, hey, I was looking at your questions. You said this for this thing. And it was, like, this weird thing where she's like, you said, like, you like might believe in God. That's a weird thing. And I'm just like, I said, okay, what? But it was a weird thing because he was, like, a staunch atheist, but she also believed in ghosts. And so I was just very confused by that.
I met one of my worst ones is a staunch atheist who really was adamantly believed in astrology.
Okay.
You know, exactly. And you know what? A lot of people in L.A. have, like, astrology, and I actually tried not to make fun of it so much because so many people were like, oh, astrology's great.
Well, the thing is, like, I honestly don't care what anyone believes. Like, some of my best friends are, like, one of my best friends in the world, like, he subscribes to Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he did is, like, he was an atheist for years and years. He just decided one day, he's like, man, I read the stories, I really like them, and so decided, you know what, I hope this is real. I believe in this.
That's cool.
And that's the thing, like, I just don't want anyone pushing it on you.
Yeah.
A lot of atheists were just like, oh, you believe in God, you're an idiot. I'm like, you're an asshole. Like,
yeah.
Who
also,
cares?
I firmly believe any atheist who is either that confrontational or like that. They're also an idiot 99.9% of the time.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure there's like, you know, you have your Richard Dawkins who's like a genius asshole.
It's the same drive of people who are very religious want to push it on you.
Yeah.
It's this overwhelming feeling of I just want to be right. Because
yeah.
it just feels so good to be right.
Yeah.
And it feels good to be smarter than everybody else. And so when you have that sort of smug superior attitude, it's just you immediately telling everyone I'm better than you because this is what I am. This is what I am and this makes me better than you. But it also isn't you doing any work.
Yeah.
It's like the way of being right and also getting to be lazy. It's like, I think
yeah.
people who really are smart, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like,
even
the political spectrum, it's like you read, if you read only leftist stuff, you feel like a genius. Like, I fully understand.
Right.
Then you read some all like right stuff, and you're just like, well, some of their economic stuff kind of makes sense. And when you put it that way, yeah, I really don't like the government or taxes, and more
right.
of it could be that. And all of a sudden, you're just like, yeah, I don't know how any of this works. I truly don't.
Yeah, there's that great graph I think I've seen probably in the context of, like, internet arguments, but it's, on the bottom, the x-axis is, like, how much you know about something, and the y-axis is, like, how much you talk about it. You know, it's like a big curve, because there's
yeah.
a big trough in the middle. You're like, nah, I can't say anything. I know fucking nothing. I mean, it's the same with, like, stand-up, too. You hear a lot of people,
yeah.
their first year or two in stand-up, and the most... giving the most advice or pointers, and it's like, a year later, you're like, I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about.
Well, it's also, it's like, you take one philosophy class in college, and all
right.
of a sudden, you're just like, oh, you actually believe that this is the life? It's like, dude, you literally took, like, 16 hours worth of courses on something. You don't know anything about it. Like, the thing I related them, like, one of my... This is so weird, but, like, the most formative movie of my entire life was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Really?
Not just because it's like, oh, dude, and, like, stupid stoner humor,
mm-hmm.
but, like, I just remember, like, Socrates specifically in that movie and them reading his, like, most famous quote, which is, like, the only true knowledge consists in knowing I know nothing.
Yeah.
And I always thought
yeah,
that was,
yeah.
like, cool and deep, and I didn't really know what it meant. And then we got to it in philosophy class. And it was the thing that it just made so much sense to me in that, like, every time you learn something, eventually you're going to learn more about it and learn that it's not fully true or it's not a half-truth. And the only true thing is knowing. It's like, oh, if you just fully understand that you can never fully know something, it'll always keep your mind open. And that's
yeah.
like a lot of people like things to be binary. I don't want to say this about it. It might be laziness, it might be fear, but they like to just feel like they know something because the world
yeah.
is chaotic by nature. Like, literally a meteor could
right.
hit this apartment right now, that could
mm-hmm.
be it for us. And that's scary. So we like to think where it's like, atheists, like, oh yeah, because, like, you know, nothing matters, and why try? Or Christians, like, oh, if that happens, it's God's plan. But really just knowing, it's like, you can't fully know anything.
Right.
And so you can just do your best to try to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, when they make up their mind and think they know that thing, then anyone who tries to argue with them, they'll fight it out. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, then I might change my mind. Then I'm back to not knowing anything.
Yeah, I mean, all that shit is so, like, it's so funny how ego-invested we just get. It's like, any kind of, it's like, you just, anytime you get in an argument with somebody, I just find, you know, you feel your blood temperature rising a little bit, you're like, you're a little bit afraid of being embarrassed, and you're also, but then you're just doubling down even more on your certainty of your position, just because, like, oh, I can't lose, I can't quote-unquote lose, I can't, like, admit that what I currently believe might have some holes in it. I just have to start poking in as many holes in their thing as I can.
That's why, this, like, the last election, I didn't like either candidate.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And it was an argument of, like, I was like, just tell me good things about your candidate. And they never did. It was always just like, well, like, if I'm saying, like, tell me something great about Hillary. It's like, well, Trump is not, like, okay. Even to this day, whenever Trump does something, like, I have friends who are Trump supporters, like, okay, this isn't the best thing. But Hillary was like, just tell me something about you. Just you. Like, you don't have to poke holes. I remember seeing this, like, psychology experiment where they actually, like, hooked people up to all these sort of different machines and would sort of try to sort of, like, present an argument against deeply held beliefs, whether political or religious, and physiologically they reacted the same way someone would if they were under physical attack.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's just so rooted to your core, and so essentially when you're sort of presented with, even if it's, like, hard evidence that sort of flies in the face of something you believe, your body goes into a fight-or-flight mode. And usually you fight, but either it's like, well, you're doing this because you are against this thing, and that's why you're trying to, like, make this look so accurate, or you just fly away and just say, like, oh, well, they're wrong, and just go against it.
Yeah.
Which is why I love the, like, all I know is I don't know anything, because then if you're just like, this is what I think it is for now, but, oh, if you have something else, let me see, and you can try to put it together and find something, and it's never easy. It's never just like, it's never just like, oh, yeah, Trump is good after all, and everyone is wrong. It's like, no, it's like, he's got some ideas that, like, this might sound controversial, but some of his ideas aren't the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And then, also, he's a huge national embarrassment. He's probably going to get us killed with his foreign relations, but,
right. Hey,
some of his at-home economic stuff might stimulate some jobs.
Yeah, it's...
like, it's never, like, pure evil. There's always, like, some good and some bad in everything.
Oh, there's a lot of nuance. But then everybody thinks, like, oh, my nuance is right. I mean, it's funny. Like, I know people on both sides of the spectrum who would, like... It's so funny, because you're... That's what makes it easy to call out the other side on their bullshit, is you can see the cognitive dissonance going on in your enemy. Like, you're like, oh, you have to go through so many mental hoops to make yourself like Trump or like Hillary or whoever. And yet, it's so hard to then point that mirror on yourself. You're like, well, what am I like that with?
Yeah.
What am I so sure is a great thing?
Oh, I do that with television shows all the time.
Yeah.
Someone's like, man, Game of Thrones is too slow-paced. What? You just have to watch it, like... Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it can be for everything. People are like, I just don't find Rick and Morty funny. How dare you?
I don't even understand. It's like, I don't even understand that.
Oh, God, my blood pressure right now.
Bowel reaction.
But that's the thing. Like, it can be for anything.
Wait. Let's get back a little bit. Are you Jewish now? So you're agnostic, but do you ever go to...
I literally just, like, in this... goes with politics and everything. I just don't like labels. I just don't like... It's such a millennial thing to say.
I know. I say all the time.
Millennials, we don't like labels.
I know, but we don't. I don't.
But it's like with that sort of thing, like, I don't, like, define myself by something, because then people are like, oh, well, what about this? It's like, my whole thing is I always consider myself like a... I hope. Like, I consider myself culturally Jewish, and I always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, a lot of the things that learned in Temple, I think, are very valuable and good, and I always hold them with me. But in terms of, like, I don't really practice anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And in terms of, like, the beliefs, it's like, yeah, I hope, you know, when I die, I do get to go to heaven. There's, like, this cool party in the clouds, and I get to meet my dad there. And he's like, you did so good. I was watching you, like, in between, like, milkshake ponds and all this cool stuff. Like, I hope that's what it is. But if it's not, being like, we'll see what it is, because that's another thing, too. It's like, you know, I mean, all of the matter in the world right now is the same matter that came from the Big Bang that spread throughout the universe and everything, and so it's all just being recreated, so it could be, like, a scientific thing of, like, you know, what is the soul, like, the scatter, and it could be passed on to anything else, or it could just be the end, and it's just all black, and you just try to make the most of what you have now, because this is all you have now.
Yeah.
Who knows, just, you know, be nice and try to have some fun.
Right on, man. I lean towards the blackout version.
Yeah.
At least that seems like, it seems like the most likely, and also, I don't know, it freaks some people out to think of that, but I think it's kind of comforting in a weird way.
Yeah, because also, like, I mean, people sort of, I think, because what freaked me about it was the idea that it's like, oh man, I would be so bored. Just all this blackness for eternity, but not realizing, like, you're not going to be conscious.
You can't experience it, yeah.
Yeah, like, I had my first surgery, and I had a colonoscopy, because my dad died of colon cancer, and so you got to check that stuff early afterwards.
Yeah.
And so I had my first colonoscopy. It was the first time I'd ever been, like, put under for a procedure before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that weird sensation of, they're like, okay, we're going to, like, just sort of, like, inject you with this thing right now, and then, like, a minute later I wake up, and I'm just like, oh, when am I going in for surgery? They're like, oh, that happened an hour ago. I was like, What?
Oh, it's so trippy.
And I feel like that's what it is. It's just like, you go under and then that's literally it.
Man, reincarnation would be really cool, though. I really would like that to happen. But then I wouldn't even like... that's the thing. I say I would like that to happen. But who is the I that's going to be liking that to happen?
And that's the other thing, too. Like, who knows?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's who knows in the afterlife? I mean, I get... Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever taken psychedelics, but, like, when I take mushrooms, it's that, like, I get really into that... This is an Alan Watts thing, too, of that, like... Who is the thing that I call I?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? And then once you start examining that, that's like, oh shit, that's like, that's a story that my brain invented.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, in Alan Watts's, you know, theology, the idea that, like, I, the individual, which is weird, just like, you know, American society is built upon the individual, the lone hero, all of our major stories come from, you know, like, one rising above all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, it's like we have this idea that's like, oh, I am apart from everything. When realistically, like, no, we're a conglomeration. It's not like when aliens come to visit us, they're going to be like, oh, this is an individual person. We just see them like ants. Like, that's sort of what we are. We all like feel that like we have our own individual thoughts and dreams and everything, but we all contribute to this one society.
Yeah.
Like, even Kanye. Like, if Kanye West dies, it's like we'll feel his loss, but society keeps moving on.
Keeps moving the fuck on.
Yeah.
That's like... There's some image that I saw on the internet a long time ago where it's just like an empty road, like in a forest, and all this accent said is, you will die and you will be forgotten.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
Well, this is
it hits you like a ton of bricks.
But the thing with it, though, is like, if you come to terms with that, because I also feel like that's why, like, religion is able to sort of sing its claws into people so voraciously, just because it's like,
yeah.
Because the idea that, like, you're going to be gone and forgotten. But if you come with us, you
maybe won't be gone. Or forgotten.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things where you realize, it's like, just try to make the most of what you have now and enjoy your time here.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
If you are gone and forgotten, yeah, that kind of sucks, but at least you enjoyed it when you had it. Because, I mean, like, the example I give is, like, name who was vice president 100 years ago.
Right. I mean, right now? Was it Coolidge? I know Coolidge took over when... No, it wasn't even...
But that's the thing. It's like, they were super important in their time, but...
Oh, yeah.
We don't care.
Don't care. Don't know.
Yeah, they might have been a great person who, like literally contributed to the society that I enjoy now.
And that to me, yeah, there's something about knowing that I'll be forgotten and that it doesn't, like, what ultimately I can contribute to the world, but also it won't really matter. There's a lot of freedom in that, I think.
And
like, I might as well do what I kind of want.
And that's the thing. It's like, you quote-unquote live on by your contributions. You
right.
know, the guy who invented the printing press.
Gutenberg,
thank you. Thank you, my love.
I'm pretty sure that's right. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, not everybody knows. It's like, oh, yeah, Gutenberg, and this year did this thing. But, like, his contributions, like, changed the world.
Yeah.
And that's, like, their contribution. And everyone
legacy.
Has their own little parts. And even if someone is, like, you know, you live in, like, a dirt hut somewhere else, and, like, you never know. Like, you have kids who have kids who have kids who one day go on to do something. Even if it's just, like, to help someone else.
Right.
Who does something that you never know.
Yeah.
So just enjoy what you got, and, you know, when you're dead, hope you enjoyed it before you got it taken away from you by the meteor that's coming for us all.
Is there anything, we're about time to wrap it up, is there anything you miss about Judaism, like being an active kind of member?
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, everything that I got from... Well, the thing is, like, everything I loved about there I have fulfilled in other parts of my life. Like, I like the sense of community, but I have a sense of community in other reasons. And you know, it's like, oh, I like to be in taught good morals, but it's like, I feel like I'm taught good morals in, like, other stories and other teachings and other parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, like, feeling like it's like, oh, I'm part of, like, a super secret organization. I don't know. Like I said, I just feel left out of these whole, like... clandestine cabal meetings that apparently we're all running that I just am not invited to.
And last question. So if people don't necessarily identify with something, we sometimes make up religion, but in lieu of that, instead, is there something you would like to either alter or change about Judaism, or like the change of focus or emphasis, or
so like this is ripped directly from my act, but in my closer, it's like it's big religion joke. One thing I talk about is, like, I talk about how I went to church with a friend of mine. I've been to, you know, like, a mosque before. I've seen, like, all these sort of different teachings and different religions. And the thing, even, like, well, I have atheist friends, agnostic friends, I've, like, met Buddhists, I've done, like, all these sort of cool things in my life where I've met all these different people. And the thing that sits out the most to me is they all have the exact same core message. Like, it's, like, very, like, if you strip everything else away, they all try and teach the same message. Even atheists, agnostics, they're all trying to live by this one philosophy.
Yeah.
And I feel like we just have a tribal mentality. It's that lizard brain of us. It's like, oh, they're different. We're, you know, sticks and everything. And I think, like, we get too focused on, like, who's right, who's wrong, our ways, their ways, da-da-da. I think we just need to focus on that we all have the same message. And I think, like, every religion should literally just start, like, every... Like the Quran, the Torah, everything should just literally just say "be nice" on the cover.
All right.
And then anything else in there is like cool if you want to do that, but like literally just put it right on the cover just so you know, yeah, this is the thing you really should do more than anything else. It's like, oh yeah, we have to like destroy them because they don't believe in. Oh, they have to be nice. Oh, maybe I'll take this like you know, fucking like IED off my chest or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, be nice because it almost seems even. Not only be nice, but it's like, I think even atheists, agnostics, like everybody, it's like, be nice because the world is bigger than you. Like, it's not,
yeah.
It's not all about you.
Like, even if you, like, believe, it's like, yeah, we're gonna go in the dirt and there's nothing after this, well then, fucking be nice so that we enjoy the time we have while we're here. Like, it's the same belief at everybody. And I say that if you're not nice, then you're shitty at whatever you say you believe.
I think that's probably, it's probably an accurate description.
Yeah. Unless you're, like, an anarchist or whatever, where it's, like, chaos and or everywhere,
right? Right. Or you're like a professional asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which I respect that as well.
Well, Matt, where can people find you online? Where would you like them to?
You just look for my name, you'll find me. At Matt Bimmel on Twitter, Instagram, you know, Facebook, MattBimmel.com. Tour dates on MattBimmel.com. I'm all over the place. I'll be in New Mexico, Tucson, Sacramento, Fresno. Tulsa, Oklahoma, maybe Minneapolis, maybe Madison, Tucson. Like, I'm all over the place. So,
damn,
just,
man.
I'm
that road.
I'm busy. So, like, just find my website. You'll find where I'm going to be.
Right on, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. This is delightful.
And that's the show. Once again, thank you so much to Nat. Go to natbaymel.com. Just find him on social media. He's lots of different places. And chooseyourownreligion.com. Jamaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?